This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and we're getting into Chapter 7 of the 15th Anniversary Edition of Vatican Assassin, the special audio version. No special cameo appearances in this chapter, but I do get to do a whole bunch of voices. Get to do the Pope's voice in this one. We've been with BC, the Vatican Assassin, on the moon at Lunar Prime, where he's killed the governor. He's gotten away with that so far. As we begin this next chapter, our scene shifts down to Vatican City, and we meet Pope Peter II, BC's boss. But that's just where we start. There is an epic chase scene coming up. That's part of this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio, Chapter 7 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition. A little bit of book news before we get into the chapter. Man, it's hard for me to focus, I'll have to admit, because real news has been just crazy. You know, a coup attempt, an insurrection, Trump sending his followers to raid the Capitol. Not cool. Man, if I wrote stuff like that, I don't think people would believe it. But there it is happening in real life. Anyway, as I say, makes it hard to focus, but I'm getting this podcast together, and I do have a little bit of book news. I've released Alibi Jones, The Legacy, which is a 5-page short story, a comic book short story with Alibi Jones that was in Always Punch Nazis Volume 2. That's the only place it's appeared so far, but I've now put it up on the site, so you can go to glowinthedarkradio.com and read that. Also posted it on Facebook. It's apropos. I think it applies, and since what went down this week went down, I thought it's appropriate to remember that it's a good idea to always punch Nazis, literally or figuratively. Also this week, on a more productive note, I started narrating a new audiobook. I got hired to narrate the nonfiction book, The Clueless Dad's Guide to First-Time Pregnancy. So, man, talking about some things that are kind of gross in some cases. I have been single my entire life, so I do not know what it's like to have kids. I'm getting a glimpse into the first-time pregnancy process by narrating this book. Wow. So, of course, that won't be out for probably another month and a half or so, but working on that now, and I do need to finish that up. Again, something else that was hard to focus on last couple of days here. In other good news, I did travel for the holiday, trying to be as safely as possible, and in Vermont, when you come back after traveling out of state, you're supposed to quarantine for 14 days. But after the 7th day, you can go get tested for COVID. And if you pass the PCR test, if you've got a negative test, you can leave quarantine a little early. So I was able to leave quarantine a little early just a day ago on Saturday. I got the test results in on Friday night. So that was good. Negative, which is nice. But again, just trying to follow the rules, you know, trying to follow the guidelines, which isn't always easy. And it is kind of a pain in the ass, but, you know, the last thing I want to do is accidentally infect somebody if I'm asymptomatic even, you know? I don't even want to take that chance. I want to follow the guidelines as best as I can. Try to get us through this thing. Well, that's enough book news. We will get into Chapter 7 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What are you doing in the kitchen?
Writing a short story.
With a meat mallet?
Well, yeah. My characters are giving me trouble.
Well, then what about the cheese grater?
I have to make sure my plot points are evenly spread through the whole story, don't I? Oh, my action scene is done.
Wow, you got it perfectly browned.
350 degrees for 12 minutes. Perfect.
The Melting Potcast, a writing variety show featuring a little of everything, from everyone, everywhere. Short and flash fiction, author interviews, book reviews, and more. Come visit the Disaster Kitchen and cook up a story. Something's burning.
My dialogue!
Now, here's Chapter 7 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Vatican City is home to the newly unified Christian religion, the new Catholic Church, small c, intentional. The current Pope, Peter II, oversees a church brought together only 5 years earlier in the Great Reunification of 2104. The unified NCC is allied with the Earth-governing Universal Trade Zone, though the alliance has never been made public, never formally acknowledged. Pope Peter enjoys power equal to the directors on the ruling council of the United Trade Zone. But now, thanks to their alliance with the UTZ and the power of the NCC, Vatican City is under siege by the Universal Islamic Nation. In the past, the UTZ had pressed the Christian churches to unite. They felt this would strengthen the UTZ hold on Earth, as the various Christian churches traditionally supported UTZ war efforts. Christians had been the targets of UIN terrorism many times. They generally supported the UTZ's policies against the UIN. The UTZ directors calculated that if the Christians united as one church, it would focus their efforts, and their support would strengthen and help sustain the UTZ. But they underestimated the strength the unified church itself would yield. As the churches united, the UTZ found itself sharing power with the new church rather than having power over it, a new equal voice among them, especially since the elevation of Peter II 3 years earlier. The old city has been home to popes since the early days of the church. It was home to a rapid procession of popes right after the recent unification. All died in office, 5 pontiffs in 2 years, until Pope Peter came in, under murky circumstances, and restored stability. Pope Peter II is the first black pope. His street preacher background brought real change to the church. He also began the Office of Papal Operations, the OPO, and then turned it into his own elite force of assassins and saboteurs. At first, the OPO just took care of Peter's church business, but soon Peter had the OPO taking care of some of the UTZ's dirty work covertly as well. Who would suspect a priest? There's no doubt the UIN has suspected the church to be directly involved in the fight against them, but they possessed no proof. Now perhaps they do, leading to this current attack on Vatican City. Orbital fighting platforms belonging to the UIN drop fighter bombers down through the clouds, which in turn drop their own payloads, fiery blossoms of orange, yellow, and red that rip into and through the ancient structures of the Vatican. The Vatican has few defenses. St. Peter's will be protected, this is certain, but not much else. UTZ forces have been requested, dispatched, and are on their way. Small comfort as another blast lifts the floor and drops it down again. Another ancient stone facade crumbles in the fighter-bomber onslaught. The OPO, the Pope's own men, are not equipped to handle such an assault. They are masters of subterfuge, not such blatant violence as this. The sound of UTZ fighters arriving and their ensuing blasts sound like an army of avenging angels to Peter II. He's been readying his retreat to the Vatican shelter, but has resisted up to this point. With the UTZ arriving, his first will not have an easy time convincing him to retreat into the bowels of the earth. The UTZ is trying to repel this latest incursion by the UIN. The UIN are hitting many fronts at once, even the moon. The UTZ security forces have their hands full, but they've managed to send a few squadrons in defense of Vatican City. They're arriving just about now, the first tells him.
Yes. Yes, I hear them. About time. At least they're here, Peter says.
We've already got report of heavy damage to some of the outer buildings. Our limited defense net is working, but can only dissipate so much energy. It's working overtime.
What's happening on the moon? The Pope asks.
Our man there has been in touch, but we cut it short because both here and there were under attack. There was too great a risk of discovery of them stumbling across our comm.
Have they been hit?
Sounded like it, but he was all right. And it looks like McIntyre is dead, and the moon is blaming the UIN. This new attack should only reinforce Lunar Prime's suspicions.
Champion does good work, Peter notes.
The first chuckled. Yes, sir. Yes, he does. But then he does the Lord's work.
Yes, he does, doesn't he? At that. You said the UIN is attacking on many fronts. Where else besides here and the moon?
New York, Vienna, London, and Tokyo are all reporting attacks. There have been reported terrorist bombings in Lima and Berlin. It's pretty widespread, the first tells him.
Any pattern yet?
The ground shakes again, knocking both men sideways. The lights go out, and then come back on again.
We are still analyzing the information, sir. Your Eminence, we should get out of here. This attack will pass, but we're still in danger now. Let's get out of here.
No sense of adventure first?
I'd like to think of it as a sense of self-preservation, sir. Instinct, maybe.
Very well, let's go. Order all staff to the shelters. Let's get going, then.
The first opens the door for Peter, and then follows him out as they leave the office for the shelter. In the now empty Pope's office, a comm unit's incoming alert light pulses red.
Where are they?
BC had started for the door, had meant to go see Edwards, but decided at the last second to double back to try the Vatican again. The CCU just sputters. No connection. Jove, this is Diana. Are you there?
Champion? I thought you were already on the way here.
That's Edwards, on the room's intercom. Not the office back on Earth.
Wrong answer.
Not the one he's been waiting for.
What did Edwards hear over the comm?
Please report to Lunar Operations immediately. Edwards out.
Shit.
BC's CCU isn't working. He's getting no response from the Vatican. He tries signaling them one more time. Something feels wrong. The air in the room shifts.
The door is open.
In the open doorway, looking at BC and the comm unit, stands the LSC he'd knocked out earlier. The cute one. Nita something. She's recording him. She has some kind of recording device focused on him and his comm unit.
Shit, again! How long has she been there?
BC dives at her. She turns and runs, and BC hits the door as it closes behind her. He gets up and tries to get out after her. The door won't open.
Great, she jammed it. I can get it open, but damn, that's getaway time.
BC pulls out his hand laser, blasts the lock, and the door opens. He races out into the hallway, looks both ways. Muted thuds and echoing explosions sound around him, but the LSC isn't in sight. He runs to his left, out toward the perimeter of this section of Lunar Prime.
She'll probably head out, instead of in to the city center. It offers more routes to take and get lost in.
She's just ducking around another corner when BC spots her. She's doubling back toward the center, towards the main atrium.
Gotcha.
BC runs after her down a long sloping corridor towards the main dome, then to the left, around the area's environmental treatment center. She runs out into the main mall, into the atrium. When he turns the corner into the dome, BC tucks away his hand laser and tries to look like a priest as he crosses through the crowd, moving as fast as he can without attracting undue attention, trying to keep the LSC always in sight. She bumps and dodges her way through the dome, crowded with panicky residents trying to figure out where to go to escape the UIN assault. Her uniform makes her rapid transit through the mall look natural.
Boom! Boom ba boom doom boom!
Several people scream, distraught, in blind panic, as distant blasts shake the foundation of the station. BC looks around as he dodges through the crowd, hoping he doesn't look too out of place, racing after her.
If they even notice me, maybe they'll think it's a church emergency, last rites or something. Hey, that's kind of funny. I'll give her last rites.
She's ducking down one of the remote access tunnels. BC tries to casually edge up to the doorway to the access tunnel. He looks around.
Good. No one seems to be paying me too much attention. She could be right inside that tunnel just waiting to blast me. Gotta be careful.
He sneaks a peek around the tunnel door's edge. The LSC is still running, down the tunnel. BC ducks into the tunnel, pulls his hand laser back out, and blasts a shot towards her feet.
Hey! Stop! BC yells.
She looks back once at BC, then runs faster. BC follows her down the tunnel. At an airlock, the tunnel branches off from the main buildings to run independently across the lunar surface. The airlock is closing, shutting off the tunnel as BC gets there. He manages to reverse the door function and opens the door back up. Before it's even fully open, he jumps through. He stops the airlock from cycling, opens the door on the airlock's other side, and runs on down the tunnel. The tunnel runs across the lunar surface to some outer buildings. The tunnel is shaped like a hexagon, with the three top panels clear. BC can see the lunar surface on both sides and the stars above. UIN ships flash overhead, blocking out the stars as they approach and fire at the buildings as he runs along the tunnel.
Look like that last ship was over our section. They're targeting the Vatican holdings here, too.
There she is. Another airlock closes in BC's face. He can see the LSC through the closing door as she runs on ahead. He tries to remember the structural diagrams he studied preparing for this assignment.
These independent surface tunnels on the moon have airlocks every 100 feet or so as a safety measure. Damned inconvenient measure.
BC reverses the door function again.
This tunnel leads out towards the remote landing facility, if I remember right. Where the hell is she going?
This running isn't normal lunar security behavior. Of course, neither is recording me in my room. She's more than LSC. Probably a UIN spy. A cute little spy, but UIN all the same. Where is she going? Another thought occurs to BC as he turns a corner and runs along the access tunnel.
I wonder if she's the one who took my clothes. Gotta wonder why she was there in the first place now.
The tunnel continues on, out past the most distant launching areas. The curve of the tunnel prevents BC from getting a clear shot at her.
What was her name? Nita Bendix? And I thought she was nice. Sure, BC. All spies are nice. It's their job. You're nice. On the outside. The LSC reaches a large juncture ahead. A major airlock. It's a small, sealable room joining their tunnel with two other tunnels. She gets in and closes the airlock, closing off BC. He catches up at the airlock door and tries to reverse the door's function. She's jammed the controls. They're frozen. He can see her inside the airlock, working to open one of the other doors. BC tries to force the door. It won't budge. If I blast the door, the safety features might not let me get through. I could lose all the air in this tunnel, too. Damn, have to short it somehow. BC opens the maintenance panel next to the door and rewires the door lock. Still nothing. He narrows and focuses the beam on his hand laser and uses it to do some quick and messy soldering. The door hisses open. BC steps into the airlock juncture. The door behind him slides back into place. The LSC is already gone, off through one of the two doors in front of BC. Yeah, but which one? Like the tunnels, the upper half of the airlock juncture is transparent. BC can see out through the top part of the juncture into the two tunnels ahead. The LSC is in the right tunnel, which leads even further out across the lunar surface. There's an outbuilding ahead, nothing else. The end of the line. BC tries to open the door to the tunnel. She's jammed the door once more. Naturally. BC notices something else, out beyond the outbuilding, hovering just above the moon's surface. A UIN bomber. Shit. Right on top of us here. That can't be an accident. She is way too hot. If she was only a humble LSC, she would have stopped, filed a report, and had me brought in already. She's got to be UIN. No way around it. Deep cover spy. The bomber clinches it. The UIN bomber begins firing at the juncture and BC. BC sees a bright blue flash. Boom! That was right next to me. Shit, come on, door, open. Gotta get to her. Hope she's not too expendable to them. They won't fire on me if I'm right there next to her. Boom! Another one. Damn close. Come on, door. Nice. The door hisses open. BC races through the door, turns just long enough to close it behind him. Boom! The UIN ship's fire hits the juncture, throwing BC forward, down onto the tunnel floor, on his face and stomach.
Explosive bolts to detonate in 5 seconds,
a computer's voice says. She's turned the explosive bolts on. Fuck me! They'll blow this tunnel right off the juncture. Blow it wide open, too. Wonderful. The LSC is gone. She escaped through the door at the tunnel's end, into the outbuilding. BC gets up and runs down the door to the outbuilding. Another jammed door. She jammed the door and set the explosive bolts on this end of the tunnel, too. Not real creative, but certainly effective. I will get through this door. How about a little help here, big guy? Boom! Then another boom and hissing as the UIN bomber fires again and the explosive bolts fire at the juncture end of the tunnel, and the tunnel starts detaching from the juncture. I have to get through! Through! The door swings inward into the outbuilding, and BC dives through as the tunnel starts collapsing behind him. Another boom throws him hard against the floor of the outbuilding. It's a storage bunker, a long building with a row of windows on each of the long sides and doors on the shorter ends. BC struggles to get up. He leans on the door he fell through, trying to both close it and stand up at the same time. The hatch clanks into place. Through the windows, BC can see the UIN ship hovering just outside the storage bunker. The motherfuckers are landing? What the... Oh, precious. There she goes.
The LSC is suited up, standing outside the door at the other end of the storage bunker. He watches her walk to the UIN ship. She gets in, and the ship takes off, leveling blasts at the juncture, the tunnel, and the storage bunker as it heads out.
Boom! Badoom! Boom!
BC hits the ground, but the bunker remains intact.
Air supply approaching minimal. Dropping rapidly.
A computer voice informs him.
Damn, where are the controls?
BC is talking to himself, but the bunker's computer answers.
The controls are located next to each doorway of this storage facility. Air supply is nearly exhausted.
BC runs down to the other door.
It's jammed open! What a bitch!
BC fights to breathe as he tries to shut the airlock door. He can feel the air being ripped from his lungs, the strain of trying to breathe greater and greater as he struggles to close the door. Finally, he works the door closed, and the computer speaks at him again.
The atmosphere of this bunker is no longer being released. There is, however, only 5 minutes of breathable air for one person remaining in this bunker. 4 minutes, 59 seconds. 4:58. 4:57. 4:56.
Computer off. Wait, computer.
Computer on. 4 minutes, 50 seconds.
Cease countdown.
Countdown has been halted. The air supply continues to run out, however.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Establish communications with Edwards, Mark.
Unable to comply. Communications from this location have been disabled.
Damn!
Air supply now at 3 minutes.
I ordered the countdown off.
The countdown continues silently for your safety. Also for your safety, you will be informed of the silent countdown at 1 minute intervals.
Does that make any sense?
No answer.
BC stops arguing with the computer and surveys the storage bunker's contents. 7 EVA suits. BC checks each of them. They're all ripped and damaged beyond easy repair. Every air unit is emptied, gauges on red. The LSC planned ahead well.
Boom!
BC's thrown to the floor by another blast.
Damn, UIN ship must be taking one last shot before they get out of range. Hope I live just to spite them.
Uh-oh. I'm not doing so good here. BC tries to get up, falls back to the floor, face against the bottom of the bunker. He looks up out the window, looking for the UIN ship. Just as he starts to black out, he sees something else. A different ship. It looks human, but not UIN or UTZ.
Huh. What's that? Am I hallucinating?
Computer! Contact that ship! SOS!
BC goes out. Out cold. After a time, he slowly, groggily, begins to wake up.
Where am I?
On a ship. Looks like an LSC transport. How'd I get here?
Whoa!
BC tries to speak, but his tongue feels 3 feet wide.
Easy there, Padre. We're getting you back to Lunar Prime. Don't know how you ended up out here. You can get lost during the raid? Don't answer. You've got AfterVac syndrome going on. A touch of it, anyway. A lot of your surface capillaries burst. Your tongue's gonna be swollen for a few days. And you'll look like one giant bruise for a bit. But you're lucky we got to you when we did.
BC is on board an LSC transport. 2 LSC officers are sitting up in front of him at the controls. The co-pilot turned back to talk to BC.
How do you find me?
BC tries to ask.
Damn tongue. How did you find me? Why even look?
We got a coded military alert to come get you,
the co-pilot tells him.
Thought it was UTZ, but I don't know. I'm not supposed to know, you know?
The co-pilot laughs.
Somebody up there likes you, Father.
That was Chapter 7 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
BC is lucky to be alive. Getting picked up after almost getting, well, killed, exposed to vacuum. You know, I can tell this is my first novel because these days I would have ended that chapter on that cliffhanger. You would have been like, what happened? For some reason, I kept it going. Like I said, first novel, you can tell. And I'll tell you, when I put this anniversary edition together, I just did a very light rewrite on it. Actually, I had somebody asking me, what's the difference? Just today. And the difference is if there was a phrase or something I had written when I reread it made me cringe, I did change that. A few things I updated to make sure my later continuity and this book all matched up. But other than that, there's not a lot of changes between the two editions. Just a few updates and a light bit of retouching. But man, I was tempted. Tempted to make that a cliffhanger. Well, BC's got to obviously get back to start to recuperate. I mean, he's still in pretty bad shape, so they're bringing him back to base, back home. And we'll pick things up there in our next episode, in the next chapter. Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Again, there's a free Alibi Jones comic book story up on the homepage at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. You can read Alibi Jones, The Legacy. Written by me, lettered by me, art by Juan Carlos Quatordio. That is all for this time around. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.